The first time I met Vanessa, when she was only 13, she looked like a zombie. Her cheeks were sunken and her dark eyes vacant as she shuffled into my office with her mother and toddler half-brother in tow. I extended my hand to welcome her, and Vanessa gave me the limpest handshake I'd ever felt. She was there in body, but everything about her, the way she slumped in her chair and barely made eye contact, told me she wanted to disappear. I opened with a few tween-friendly questions to help Vanessa feel more at ease. I learned she liked Ariana Grande, Beyonce, and shopping at H&M. She did well in school, and science was her favorite subject. But home life hadn't always been easy. Vanessa shared that for more than a year, the family had lived in homeless shelters after her mother had escaped a violent relationship. Vanessa's mother is Haitian and speaks very little English. It was up to Vanessa to translate as they moved from place to place, applying for benefits and housing vouchers, and searching for a landlord willing to take a government subsidy for rent. Life had been chaotic. One time, all their belongings were stolen from storage. But over the past few months, there'd been more stability. The family had settled into an apartment, and Vanessa had enrolled in eighth grade at Spring Creek Community School, a middle school in East New York, Brooklyn. She'd been there 5 months, the longest she'd attended any school in years. Only, Vanessa hadn't been to class for a while, she told me. Not since the video of her attack had gone viral. "Can you tell me what happened?" I asked. Vanessa took a breath and stared at the floor. "It was on the last day of school before spring break," she began. "A month and a half before she'd come to see me, on the afternoon of April 2nd, 2015, Vanessa had been waiting at a bus stop near her school. She was there later than usual that day. After her last class, Vanessa and some friends had gone on the hunt for one of the friends' missing cell phones, then stopped at a corner store for snacks. Her friends were headed home in a different direction, so they parted ways, and Vanessa crossed the street to wait for her bus. She hadn't been standing there long when she noticed a boy walking in her direction. She recognized him from English class, but they weren't friendly, which made it all the more shocking when he approached her and announced that the two of them should go somewhere and have sex. Just like that, out of the blue. Vanessa told him no, but he kept badgering her. Suddenly, he grabbed her by the arm and started dragging her toward a nearby alley, away from the view of oncoming cars. He undid her belt buckle and pulled down the blue pants of her school uniform. She tried to break free, but he told her to stop struggling unless she wanted to see what would happen if she didn't. Straddling her waist, he turned Vanessa onto her stomach on the cold concrete and sodomized her. The pain was excruciating. The boy kept telling her she wasn't doing it right. Then he flipped her over, tried to penetrate her vaginally, gave up, and demanded she perform oral sex. Again, she told him no. He grabbed her by the head and shoved his penis in her mouth. When he was done, the boy, who was 13 at the time like Vanessa, zipped up his pants and left her in the alley. She could hear him on his phone as he walked away, telling someone on the other end, "Yeah, I got her to do it." Vanessa pulled on her clothes and ran to the bus. She had 11 missed calls from her mother, who'd been expecting Vanessa to meet her at a hair salon. Vanessa cried the whole way there. When Vanessa's mother saw her daughter, she asked why Vanessa was so disheveled. It would be weeks before Vanessa would tell her mother about the attack. She was afraid her devout mother, who'd warned Vanessa countless times to stay away from boys, would be angry. Even as Vanessa haltingly recounted the story of her sexual assault in my office, her mother repeatedly interjected to fret about Vanessa's virginity, wondering aloud if it could still be considered intact. Spring break lasted 10 days. The whole time, Vanessa barely left her bedroom. She couldn't eat or sleep. She lost 6 pounds from her already thin frame. Her mother kept asking what was wrong, but Vanessa couldn't bring herself to put into words what had happened in that alley. The attack was the most awful thing she'd ever experienced. Never in her life had she felt so ashamed. But when she went back to school, things only got worse.